Hi, everybody. Octopus Caveman.
This is Peter.
Welcome to Popcorn with Candy, the podcast where we talk about the films of the late, great John Candy in chronological order. This episode, we're talking about National Lampoon's Vacation from 1983.
One of my favorites.
I love this. This is directed by Harold Ramis, who has an amazing directing legacy.
He's an awesome guy.
Not a whole lot of directing films, but the ones that he did are like classics. Like Caddyshack, this, Multiplicity.
He's just a powerhouse. Everything he does is great.
And this is written by John Hughes, who's also amazing. It's funny because this is another John Hughes road trip movie. A John Hughes road trip movie. So this and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, there's some parallels. There's a couple of bits that are carryovers.
A little bit, yeah.
The cast is amazing in this. This is Chevy Chase as Clark, Beverly D'Angelo as Ellen, Imogen Coca as Aunt Edna. She's fantastic in this.
She is.
She's so good. She's a little bit of a callback to sort of an earlier time of comedy and some of the like mugging towards the camera, but it really works in this for some reason. I love it.
Yeah, she didn't want to do this. She didn't think she could be that mean to everybody. And then she was constantly worried she was being too mean.
Randy Quaid, Cousin Eddie.
Great.
A favorite. I love Randy Quaid. Anthony Michael Hall is amazing as Rusty.
He's my favorite Rusty.
Did you ever see him in Saturday Night Live?
No, probably not.
He was that year where they ended up like halfway through the season, we got to get rid of everybody. But all of those people went on to success in their own rights. Robert Downey Jr. was on it. It was a very weird time for SNL, but he was fantastic on it. He's just a naturally gifted actor. He's fantastic in this. He's great in Pirates of Silicon Valley.
He's gone on to a great career. He does everything he does is great.
He's just impressive in this because he's so young.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Was this before Breakfast Club?
I think so.
Because he seems a little younger.
He does. Brian Doyle Murray is in this.
Yeah, good part.
He's fantastic in this. James Keach. I always thought it was Stacy Keach, the motorcycle cop, but it's James Keach, his brother. Eugene Levy makes an appearance. We get the reunited duo of Frank McRae and John Candy, and luckily John Candy's not racist to him in this.
Yeah.
They're buddies. Chrissy Brinkley. Jane Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski.
From 30 Rock. And Ally McBeal.
She's the cousin.
She's Cousin Vicky. We have John Deal in this as an auto mechanic.
And I don't know that guy's name, but he's great in a bunch of old movies. The other auto mechanic.
It's Mickey Jones. He's in everything.
Yeah, he's just that either the biker or the trucker or...
He's in Sling Blade. He's in Tin Cup. He's in Total Recall. He's just always... Yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. I love character actors like that. This is just a remarkable movie. I haven't watched this in a few years. I mostly watch Christmas Vacation because it's always on during Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how well this holds up.
It's great. I'll watch it whenever I see it. I'll watch it whenever I can.
There's a lot of stuff that I could understand that a newer generation might not get, but for me it's perfect and it holds up. But, you know, it's very 80s.
I don't see what other people wouldn't get unless they've never gone on a road trip more than an hour.
Yeah, I think there's some stuff. But let's get into this.
Okay.
It opens with Holiday Road.
Great song.
Lindsey Buckingham is a man. This and then the final closing song, just fantastic songs.
It's a good song. I like it. Is that song used in every movie?
I believe so. I haven't seen Paris Vacation or European Vacation.
You haven't?
No, I've seen it. I haven't seen it in quite some time.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that song is in there.
I was going to say, what's wrong with you?
We watched it together like 40 times. I just don't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen that one. I've seen that one less than any of them.
Even Vegas?
Probably.
I've seen so little of Vegas Vacation, maybe twice.
Yeah, it's my least favorite of all of them, Vegas.
Yeah.
So we open at the car dealership, and we've got Eugene Levy.
Yeah, they do a dumb thing. They let them take the car away right away. And we're here to pick up my car.
I think it's fantastic that Eugene Levy started his career playing these sleazy dudes. In this, and then Going Berserk, and SCTV, there's so much of him playing this sleazy type.
Yeah.
And then later on in the career, he just started playing the nerdy type characters.
The nerdy dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in American Pie, and then, what's the Queen Latifah one?
I don't know.
With Steve Martin, the house guest.
Okay.
He's fantastic in that. He's a nerdy white dude who's, like, fallen in love with Queen Latifah.
I don't remember much of that one.
I've seen garbage movies and I constantly
I've seen
bring
it.
Them
I don't
up
remember
this.
It.
This, yours, mine, and ours. I keep calling back these terrible movies. The squeakquel or the road chip? So, yeah, they take the car away, and they've got the iconic National Lampoon's vacation car, the green station wagon.
The family truckster.
Metallic P family truckster.
Yep.
But yeah, they go and smash his car for some reason?
Yeah. They want to get that sale. They're like, okay, we don't have that car. Let's make him take this one.
That's pretty extreme to get a sale, to destroy somebody's car.
Yeah.
I don't...
I wouldn't fall for that. I mean, I'd be demanding.
Yeah,
it's... I mean, that'd be a lawsuit. That'd be...
I don't really remember this super well, but that didn't hold up super well for me. I thought, this is kind of a lame bit.
It was a bit, and it was funny, because he got to do the walking up to the smashed car and trying to open the door.
I love, it does show right away Clark's sensibility. He's one of those, make the best out of everything, and never own any mistake. Just constantly, if something happens to you, make it seem like you wanted it. He goes home and he makes it seem like, oh, this is a great car. And the car sounds broken already. It's great.
It's awful. It's a horrible car.
It's a hoopty.
Yeah.
It's just pinging.
A brand new hoopty.
So everybody comes out to go check out the car, the whole family. And they're like, why is it still running? Which I love.
And the garbage bag airbag goes off.
It's such a trash bag. I like that scene. And we have the scene in the kitchen. Ellen is talking to Clark and she's like, it's not too late to fly. And... there are so many animals on their kitchen counter. Did you notice this?
I didn't.
Everything is an animal. There's like a porcelain rabbit and like a porcelain dog and a porcelain pig. The kitchen is like a menagerie.
My memory of this movie is her constantly being naked. So I was expecting her to be naked in this scene. So I wasn't paying attention to the animals on the counter.
The nudity shocked me because I think I've seen this more on cable TV reruns. Where I was like, oh, I forgot there's boobs in this movie. But it's a National Lampoon's movie, so of course.
Right.
I don't think they ever set out to make a family movie.
But it's only her boobs.
Yeah.
It's like, she's the only one that gets naked in this movie.
It's weird to me because this movie doesn't need any of that nudity.
No, it's pointless.
A lot of the scenes, it's like, oh, you just wanted to throw in some nudity.
Yeah, and I wasn't ready for it when my kid's sitting next to me watching this.
So we have the computer scene.
He makes the kids turn off the Atari so he could turn on the Apple, the old Apple II.
This is remarkable to me because he just got that car that day. And he's got that car, the little pixels for it, already programmed into that computer. He's got it mapped out. This was probably super high-tech and believable back then.
This was an awesome program back then if it existed.
This is so absurd. So he's
like Google Maps on the Apple II.
Yes, but yeah... but the Atari is somehow on at the same time?
Yeah, they're playing on the Atari and chasing the car down.
I don't know why.
The car's leaving dots behind it. And so this little triangle Pac-Man type character is chasing it, eating the dots. And then Audrey comes in with an asteroid-style game and shoots the Pac-Man character.
Why doesn't this bother me more than it should?
I thought it was hilarious and dumb.
I did too. It should be bothersome, though. I just was like, I don't know why, but this just kind of works for me.
It was just dumb and great.
I guess, yeah. I was like, all right, it's a movie.
Yeah.
So we have the entire neighborhood is all going to bid them bon voyage as they start their road trip.
They must really like all their neighbors.
Let me see. The lesson that I've learned from watching this movie, luggage racks are the stupidest way to carry your luggage.
Yeah.
Right away, we have them pulling out, the luggage goes flying. We will revisit that over and over and over again. If they had a van, or if they put their stuff in a trunk, or packed less, some of the problems in this movie don't happen.
Yeah.
This movie is to teach the lesson that luggage racks are stupid.
Why did he park in the garage? And was that the same house that they pulled up with the truckster?
I don't think so. The driveway configuration seemed a little
completely
different.
It was bizarre. Why would you pack your roof rack inside the garage?
It's a weird choice, because you never see him park it in there. But you ever been driving down the freeway and you see luggage all over the freeway?
Yep.
Luggage rack. Yep. Every time.
Yep.
They don't work. It's a bad idea. You remember when you're driving and it's just like, somebody lost a bag, their shoes all over the freeway?
Yeah.
It's always a luggage rack. It's a terrible way to keep your luggage.
Yeah.
So.
They're back on the road, right away.
Yeah, singing the Mockingbird song, which is great.
Right.
And then they sing the Wally World National Anthem.
The Marty Moose song?
Marty Moose.
Marty Moose.
I love the faux Mickey Mouse things. It's always alliteration. I think it's very clearly a Disney parody.
Yeah.
We have, they sing the Marty Moose, the Wally World National Anthem.
And then Clark starts singing Jimmy Crack Corn, and then we have this awesome scene where the kids put on their headphones, and it's Blitzkrieg Bop by the Ramones playing.
Oh yeah, they put headphones on.
That transition is fantastic to me. And we have them driving with Blitzkrieg Bop, and then we have Clark singing
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
And we have the immediately after the What Smells scene.
That was great. And it's apparently so that was not scripted, but they left it and it was great.
It's fantastic. Just like, what smells? Rusty, your feet. Just right in his face. So then we pull up at the gas station. We have the whole where's the gas cap stuff.
Looking around, trying to do it. Rips off the license plate.
I love that.
Because the family next to him pulls the license plate down and fills up from the back.
Chevy Chase is fantastic at making physical humor seem natural.
It's very subtle and not overdone. I liked it.
Yeah, you don't... It's a skill that I don't think you could learn. I think it's just a very natural thing that he does.
And people try it constantly and fail.
They do. You see it done so well here, you think of all the times you've seen it done poorly afterwards.
Yeah.
He's a gifted guy. Watching this movie, I really miss having Chevy Chase in movies.
Yeah.
I thought he was great in The New Vacation. I love to see that couple again. You know, the movie, you may think what you...
It was fine. It was a good sequel. It was fine. It definitely beat Vegas Vacation.
Wow. We're going to have to do just Popcorn with Vacation.
Maybe. No, we don't want to do Popcorn with National Lampoon.
No.
Because some of those are awful.
The Return of Taj, the Van Wilder spinoffs and stuff.
I love that Ellen points out that the gas is up in the front right side of the car. And he's all, yes, dear, I'm just fixing the license plate.
Yeah, it's great. The titles on the... on the screen as they go throughout it, I really liked. So it's St. Louis, Missouri. And, you know, did they do that in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as well?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
We'll get there.
So we have St. Louis, Missouri.
And they take the wrong exit.
And they end up in a ghetto. And Clark is fantastic. The best line is, kids, are you noticing all this plight?
Yeah, it makes us appreciate what we have. A gunshot. Roll them up.
Yes. Then he asks this guy for directions, and we get the yo mama joke.
And then he stops somewhere.
There was a dude in the background just straddling a mailbox.
I didn't notice that.
It's so bizarre. He's just chilling on top of a mailbox in the background.
Nice. I like that he pulls up to this place, and he says, excuse me, Holmes, to ask for directions.
Yes. This is kind of racist.
Very.
The guy that gives him directions to get to a guy to get directions... he's talking to him, and then the hubcaps are getting stolen?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore, does it?
No, hubcaps are cheap nowadays. They're plastic. Those were metal.
That's kind of one of the things that holds up. Like, I think kids would just be like, what's that all about? Are those plastic things that just cover your bolts for your tires?
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because you used to pull up to a gas station, and they would have hubcap collections.
Yeah.
They'd have them all pinned up on the wall outside, and they're just not a thing anymore. They just disappeared.
No. Yeah.
Very bizarre. Now it's all about rims. You can't take off rims.
Well, you can. You can't drive without rims.
You can't take it off in the course of a conversation with a guy at his window.
They'd notice.
So he's driving again.
No. Rusty in the back. I wonder if these guys know the Commodores.
Yeah. Super racist. So then we have them driving. It's night. And Clark is trying to get...
some road action.
In the car with his kids in the back.
Yeah.
That's super creepy.
Yeah.
He's like, put your head in my lap, and then her head gets stuck in the steering wheel.
He lifts the steering wheel up, like, the weird thing that lets you move it. It moves it so far. But then he brings it back down on her head. And she gets stuck, and he can't, I don't know if he can't or if he's playing that he can't, get the steering wheel back up.
I think he can't.
Okay.
And the kids kind of wake up for a minute and see.
Yeah, the kids look, and then they lay back down.
And then we have the asleep at the wheel scene, which is fantastic.
The last line before he falls asleep is, I'm not tired.
Yeah. Then we've got the kids passed out, and then Ellen's passed out, and we cut to him, and he's passed out. It's done so well.
Yeah,
it's
head fantastic. Back snoring. It was great.
I have the note here that John Hughes feels something about station wagons. I'm not sure what, but... station wagons get destroyed in John Hughes scripts. I'm not sure if he loves them because he puts them in all the time, or if he super hates them. He's like, we're going to destroy this station wagon.
I love that this scene, while he's asleep, he takes an exit. There's somebody with groceries. crossing the street. If they're on the road and he's falling asleep, it's not like 7 at night. Yeah. It's got to be really late.
Well, in the clown murders, we have people trick-or-treating at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so somebody in the middle of the night is walking home with groceries.
It's just movie
and
logic.
Somebody else is walking a dog.
And a guy just got off of work, because there's like a construction worker guy leaving a diner, right?
Did they leave at like 6 in the morning and they're that tired already?
I don't know. There's a cowboy, I think, leaving a place who's credited on IMDb. There's a cowboy.
For that scene?
Yeah.
Weird.
It's one of the guys that just watches him drive by.
He's about to exit and the car drives by like on the sidewalk?
He's okay. Credited on IMDb.
Weird.
Fantastic.
And then get the amazing parking scene because he wakes up and screams and does the whole spinning and...
spin into reverse, back into a spot.
Yeah.
This next scene could have been totally wiped off from it. My only note was tits! Exclamation point.
Yeah, but it's a psycho scene.
Yeah, it's a psycho parody, but totally unnecessary. It's like 30 seconds long and it's... again, we've got the shower maneuvers. She's doing the I'm soaping up my hair like a sexy broad shower maneuver.
Just to make sure they're flopping or something?
Yeah, it's very shower maneuvers.
Yeah, and it was like it was written, oh, they're going to be in a hotel? Let's have a shower scene.
Shower maneuvers, new podcast.
Go for it. I'm out. Make sure you get Mr. Deeds in there.
Yes. Then we have wine in bed, which is great. Clark's a thoughtful guy.
He's definitely trying to get some on this trip.
And John Hughes, coin-op beds are a thing for him.
I guess, yeah.
So we've got the coin-op bed thing. He puts the thing in.
And the bed goes crazy.
Have you ever been on a coin-op bed?
I don't know.
I've never seen one. I've never encountered
one. I've seen them in motel rooms when I was younger, I remember. Really? I don't know if we ever used them.
I've never used one.
I nowadays probably would be creeped out.
Seems like it would be loud for the neighbors.
Maybe.
Especially this one, because this goes crazy and the headboard's slamming against a wall all loud. So they decide to go to the floor to get busy.
I like that when it starts to go crazy, he just keeps talking and ignoring it. But the bed's like bouncing and he's like...
he's getting that... ignoring it.
Yeah. But then they stop and he's like, I got it. They move all the blankets to the floor and they go straight to doing it.
The kids come in. You have her underwear on his finger when he's telling the kids to leave. And
yeah, and then where's mom? He goes to point to the bathroom. I'm under here.
Chevy Chase's talents really show in this. He's perfect at being casual and subtle and funny in subtle ways. It's great.
Yeah.
Dodge City.
They go to Dodge City. They walk into this saloon.
The guy who plays Wyatt Earp, for some reason... is credited as something Dreyfus in this, but it's not his real name.
No?
No, it's bizarre to me.
Weird. I don't know.
Just a weird choice. Rusty is super mean to Wyatt Earp.
He says he's a crummy Wyatt Earp. He's wearing jogging shoes. And Clark says, they used to.
Yeah. And then Clark, the scene of Clark being ridiculous with the bartender, I love so much.
Well, Wyatt Earp dude told him to watch out for his attitude. Like, kind of hinting that, oh, this is what you do. You, I don't know if that's what you actually do, but
right.
It was weird.
The insults are fantastic. I don't have any of them written down. I couldn't remember them, but they're great.
They're fun. And I love that he pisses him off enough that he just grabs a shotgun, shoots him. And then Clark reacts like he was shot. It was great.
It's fantastic. Ellen's like, oh, the kids are deaf. Audrey's reaction is fantastic. Just the, huh?
And Ellen says, are you happy now? She's deaf. Clark wants to get the bartender again. Excuse me, sir. Yeah, all
is,
polite.
It is great. And then they're driving again. We have them talking about going to see the House of Mud.
Then they're talking about going to see Eddie and Catherine. And
the kids are fighting in the back.
And Clark says, I'd rather see a pile of mud than Eddie.
And we have the first appearance of Christie Brinkley.
Hot chick in a Ferrari. Great scene of him just... staring lovingly at her while the family argues in the background.
Is it a Ferrari?
That's what IMDb said. I have no idea.
I noticed the plates say love me, L-U-V.
Yeah.
And the California notice. Plates.
Really?
They are.
Okay.
They're the old blue and yellows.
Okay.
But yeah, I did think as well watching this, is she imaginary?
For most of the movie, I was thinking that because you know in Christmas Vacation, there's the imaginary woman in the pool.
Right.
But I'm thinking... is this, like, building to that?
I thought so, too. I was sort of going through it in my head, because I don't think I'd ever focused on that idea while watching this. I've always just... Yeah. I've never taken notes while watching this. So we have Coolidge, Kansas. We're at Cousin Eddie's house.
Meeting all the cousins.
And this is where we have Jane Krakowski. Jane Krakowski as Vicky.
And we have Ramis's daughter, Violet Ramis, as the girl without a tongue. She whistles like a bird and eats like a horse.
And I've always loved the asteroids joke. Rusty is talking to Dale. And yeah. Just kind of like, you know, Dale's talking about worms. And he's like, you know, what do you have? Do you have asteroids? No, but my dad does. Some days he can't even sit on the toilet. Ugh. He's like, so what do you do around here for fun? And he's like, well, I got a stack of nudie magazines.
This high.
And they go to read porn together. The creepiest ending to a scene ever. What do you mean you use them?
And this scene, he's working out his hands. He's got those hand things.
It's so creepy. And he goes, do you ever bop your baloney? What does he say, an older boy showed him?
Yeah.
This is a creepy scene.
It is. Not as creepy as the one just before it, where Audrey and Vicky are talking. And Vicky says, I French kiss. And Audrey says, everyone does that. And Vicky says, but Daddy says I'm the best.
I never picked that up.
It's awful.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is awful and hilarious.
So we have Ellen talking to Catherine about Aunt Edna. And the baby in this scene, they have the best reaction shot of the baby. It's fantastic. Just for a moment, they cut to it, and I was like, that baby's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
Because it reacts. It's just so great. I think they just happened to catch a perfect reaction shot, but that baby just kind of gives a look. It's great.
Nice. I like that she's talking about, when the baby comes, I can quit one of my night jobs.
It's so messed up. And the barbecue scene, where they're barbecuing hamburger helper.
Yeah.
You don't need the hamburger, just the helper.
Weird.
Eddie likes it a lot better than tuna helper.
Ugh. And Edna's mentioned, and she starts walking out. The weird walker scene.
She's so fantastic in this.
She's okay, yeah. The walker scene was weird. She doesn't know how to use a walker, obviously. But she's walking out on the porch with a walker, gets to the step, and hands Ellen the walker and just walks to the table.
It's great.
They realize that Edna's going with them. And then we've got Vicky and Audrey talking in the room. And Audrey says, you know, being a farmer isn't that cool.
And Vicky grabs the shoebox full of weed.
And says, how cool is this?
So they're talking after dinner in Eddie's house.
Right. And Eddie gives them the sob story. And then Edna says, why don't you just ask him? He sure as hell can't take a hint.
Yeah. So he asks him for some money. Clark grabs his wallet. And Eddie, he's like, how much do you need, Eddie? $52,000.
Yep. And he just starts shoving that money back in the wallet, puts it in his pocket. It was great.
And then they're getting ready to leave, and we're introduced to Aunt Edna's dog, Dinky.
Dinkums. Maybe it's Dinky, and she calls him Dinkums.
So they're driving Aunt Edna to
Phoenix on the way to California.
To Normie's house.
Yeah. I love that Eddie's saying bye, and Ellen goes to hug him, and he tries to kiss her. And there's that great, getting away from him scene.
Randy Quaid is so killer.
He's awesome.
That's his sister.
Is it sister or sister-in-law?
Sister.
Sister.
Yeah.
I never got that one. I thought...
Yeah, you're right. No, that's... Catherine is Ellen's sister.
I don't know. It's confusing to me. Throughout all of these movies, I'm pretty unclear on all of this.
I think Catherine is Ellen's sister.
So Eddie gives Clark some shiny white shoes.
There's some pretty awesome white loafers.
Yeah. This is where you need to not lie about liking something somebody else owns.
Yes.
Because you visit family and you say, oh, those are really nice shoes. Which Clark apparently did.
Well, he's a sarcastic jerk. This is his karma.
True.
He rocks them later. He looks good in them.
He does. But you mentioned liking mine, so I bought you some or something weird like that.
And then we have the picnic scene. It's one of these rest stops.
Yeah, rest stop picnic.
I don't know if people still stop there, but I've had rest stop picnics.
I think since Something About Mary, people don't go there anymore.
Maybe. I remember having rest stop picnics as a kid on a road trip.
I do too.
Pull over and eat some sandwiches.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. Christy Brinkley is there.
With a trucker in her car.
A guy in the passenger seat a guy watching nearby from another truck and a guy standing right next to her drinking a beer or something.
Yeah, and she's just there doing this weird little I'm hot dance.
She is an advertisement.
Yeah, you've got the truck behind with all the different logos on it. It's totally not a truck you'd see on the road.
She's like a living beer ad. Every time you see her, she's posing like a model, right? Even in the car, she's so a car ad. Here, she's like another car ad outside.
It's so weird. That's reinforced my she's imaginary thing that I was going through by this point.
It is bizarre, but I like it. I'm not hating on it. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. And then Clark notices he's standing by a tree eating a sandwich, or about to eat a sandwich, and he's like,
Making it sexy, like yeah, showing her
slapping
the
slapping his face with it.
The way Aunt Edna eats a sandwich bothers me.
How?
Because it's all hands. She has both hands completely all over that sandwich and just leans in weird. It's just bothersome. I noted it. Like, she covers every inch of that sandwich with hands, except for the tiny little like half inch that she nibbles on for the entire scene.
Maybe it was a long scene and they wanted to She wanted to preserve it, make it not so bad.
They tend to use spit buckets for eating scenes where you just pretend you're eating and then cut and spit into a bucket. I think she just was going to nibble on that corner.
Or maybe she was hiding a part where she already bit through.
Yeah.
Or a couple parts.
It's just, I've seen people eat a sandwich like that, all hands. But
so the sandwiches are wet.
Yeah.
And Ellen realizes that the dog peed on the picnic basket. Clark does a spit take. And Edna, she doesn't care.
She's not any bad.
She just shrugs and takes another bite.
And we're at Camp Comfort with two K's.
Might as well had a group to Camp Comfort kids.
Oh, God. Brian Doyle Murray as the front desk clerk is fantastic.
He's great in everything.
He is. I love... He's one of these guys, he throws in these little character quirks. And this is before Groundhog Day, where at some point his voice became kind of like this. And he was just kind of like, wow, we got him.
He got old quick.
He did. But this is a young, great Brian Doyle Murray. And him just, the little quirk of just spitting the watermelon seeds into his hand. Fantastic.
Before that, they get out of the car and Clark says, Rusty, take care of Dinkums. And he says, but Dad, he bites. Bite him back.
So they check in. The pool is disgusting.
It's a duck pond and it's gross.
We watched this together. I love that you were like, this is an old MASH set.
The tent totally looks like a MASH set.
Whole thing looks like it.
I know they had campsites just like this, but it looked like MASH. Yeah, it totally looked like MASH at that point. And then we get sexy time.
Clark and Ellen are always boning down.
Trying to.
It's... Real marriage is not like this.
No. And the dog interrupts.
Dinky attacks while they're... Yeah.
Apparently this was supposed to be Brian Doyle Murray in a moose costume interrupting them, but it went too long so they cut it and refilmed it.
I'm glad they went with this.
Yeah.
I like Brian Doyle Murray, but that's too bizarre.
It sounds creepy and weird. So he says, I'm going to kill that dog.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah.
So the next scene, they're getting ready to leave.
The kids come up. Dinkums took a big round one on Edna's blanket.
Yeah, Clark loves it. So he ties up Dinkums to the bumper.
While he's loading up. The kids are fighting about who's sitting next to Edna.
Yeah, and they get into the car. And I think it's fantastic, the what's that smell? Like, I don't know. I've smelled it ever since we left Cousin Eddie's. We're talking about the weed. And Audrey kind of looks nervous.
Then she gets really nervous.
Yeah, there's a cop pulling him over. And when she has Edna hold her purse.
Yeah, hold my purse. What? Just hold my purse.
They get pulled over, and I always thought this was Stacy Keach, who's relatively famous. I mean, he's in everything. But this is James Keach. He is fantastic in this.
They do a great job.
He's killer. He is so furious, and you have no idea why.
So he comes up to the car and just says, get out of the car. And he shows him the leash.
This is an amazing scene. It's so messed up, but it's so great.
He asks, do you know the penalty for animal cruelty in this state? He says, no, officer.
Well, I bet it's pretty steep.
Yeah. That is one of those great cop questions that you should have an answer to.
Poor little guy probably kept up with you for the first mile or so.
Apparently, the tears in this were real because they couldn't stop laughing.
It's a great scene. Edna's super mad, clearly.
Well, he gets in the car and tries to play off that he was speeding.
Yeah, Rusty's trying to like, no, he pulled you over because I was speeding, Russ.
And then the cop comes up, hands him the leash.
Hercules shall go get what's left of the carcass off the highway.
And Edna does the fuming look.
She's so good. And we have the drive-in restaurant next. I love these. There was an old school A&W down the street from where we grew up. You remember going there?
I do.
So we have the drive-in restaurant. They pull in. And he does the whole, new car, I'll take that. Grabs a tray, spills it all down the side of the car.
Well, he puts it on the window, and it's too heavy for the window. The window shatters.
Does the window shatter?
The window shatters. The waitress just looks around all upset.
Waitress.
Yeah.
And then they're driving again. We got Christy Brinkley back.
She passes him, so he decides to pass her.
He's just kind of driving next to her in the opposite lane.
Yeah, not looking at her, looking across Ellen, who's sleeping right there.
This makes their relationship dynamic odd, because it's like Clark is super unhappy because he's always fantasizing about somebody else.
Yeah.
It's a little odd.
This is where I was starting to question if she was real or not. Like, maybe I was wrong about that she's imaginary. Because why would you be in the left lane? But if he's losing it and imagining her, you never know.
Yeah. So they almost crash. The truck almost hits him, and he passes him in the dirt on the left of the opposite lane.
Yeah.
They lose some bags because they use a luggage rack like dummies. That is the lesson of this movie. Luggage racks are terrible. They're a bad idea.
Ellen wakes up. They talk, and he says, not much more can happen to us. I think the worst is behind us.
That's when you see the bags stumble off the top.
Right.
The bags containing credit cards.
Credit cards, and apparently nothing else that can't be replaced except her diaphragm.
Can't that be replaced?
I would think so.
Can't you just buy some condoms? There's lots of options.
But was that... I don't know. It was back then, and it was weird. I don't know.
All the diaphragm talk in movies is gone now. I mean, it's just not a thing people use.
Yeah, that doesn't hold up anymore.
Yeah, but there's a lot of it back in the day. A lot of diaphragm humor.
Yeah.
What is the movie of poking holes in the... Parenthood.
Parenthood.
Poking holes in the diaphragm. Like
Rick Moranis testing a diaphragm.
Yeah. All the diaphragm humor as a kid, I didn't get. And then as an older person revisiting them, it's like, there's a lot of diaphragm talk.
Eyes and John Candy in Parenthood. I love that movie. I'd want to talk about it.
I do too. So they're somewhere in Arizona, which is the best title card so far. Somewhere in Arizona, they're just driving in the desert.
Talking about being lost.
Yeah.
It's like, how could I miss it? It's the largest hole on Earth.
Yeah, looking for the Grand Canyon.
Edna says something, and he's like, well, maybe the second largest.
I love it. And at some point, they crash.
He drives off the end of a road.
Super awesome, slow-mo Dukes of Hazzard style.
When they close a road, they put big signs up like this.
Yeah.
And they go right through it.
The crash is amazing.
It's great. You've said it. It's a good Dukes of Hazzard crash scene.
It's fantastic.
You get them inside the car again, and everybody but Edna is now in the front seat. Ellen says, I think I broke my nose. Rusty says, I stabbed my brain. He's got his fingers stuck up his nose.
Audrey
says, I got my period.
I just got my period. Never got that one as a kid.
No.
It's fantastic.
It's weird.
And then them outside, you know, luggage is all over, the car's crashed, and Rusty's like, Dad, I think you jumped the car about 50 yards.
That's nothing to be proud of, son. As he turns and like,
50 yards.
Yeah.
50 yards. Aunt Edna's bitching, and Ellen screams at her, kind of shuts her up. We'll just sit in the car. And we have the man-to-man talk with Clark and Rusty. So fantastic.
Yeah, we haven't had a man-to-man in a while. Well, I've only been a man for a couple of days.
Since he started bumping his baloney.
I never got that until this time.
Me too.
When I'm really thinking about it, because he became a man when his cousin...
Oh, God.
Showed him how to become a man.
So they're sharing a beer together, which is fantastic. Clark takes a sip, hands it to Rusty. Rusty pounds it.
Apparently that was improvised. Like, Anthony Michael Hall decided to do that.
Brilliant. Like, what a great acting choice.
It was great.
What I picked up here is I never knew what Clark did for a living. I knew he worked in an office. He tells us here.
He works in food additive.
He develops new and better food additives.
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre choice. He's Monsanto.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that he's sitting here putting his glasses on. They're broken in half at the bridge. And he puts them on and moves his hands away. They just fall off and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Forgets Audrey's name here.
Yeah, that's great. What I noted here is this doesn't happen anymore.
thanks to cell phones, this doesn't make sense to the younger generation. They're like, oh yeah, well, you just call AAA and they come and get you. Nobody's going to have any more bad breakdown stories.
You can, because cell phones can die. You could be out of signal area.
They're so rare.
There's somebody involved in a major website and just walked into the snow and died.
Ugh. Well, thanks for making it dark on our comedy podcast.
We could take that out, but it's just, it happens still.
I broke down once in Newberry Springs in the middle of the desert. It's just a tiny town on the way to Vegas. And I had to walk 4 miles in the desert, in the heat, to find a tire shop that I just had to hope was open to drive back and put a tire on my car.
Nice.
I mean, nobody has those stories anymore. I have multiples like that.
I had my car break down in Irvine, and I had no cell signal.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
You're, like, surrounded by sprawl.
I was on the 405 freeway, busiest freeway in California. I had to walk almost half a mile to get cell signal on the side of the freeway.
See, that's what the new breakdown stories are. Is like, I had to walk a half mile until I could get service.
I was basically next to the call box. I could have just picked up the call box, but I had cell signal at that point.
Are call boxes a thing anymore?
They exist.
Thank God.
Depends on the county.
They need to exist.
Yeah.
They're important. I've used call boxes in the desert multiple times.
It's great. If you run out of gas on the freeway, pick up a call box.
But scenes like this, and there's another movie called, I think, The Vanishing. Kiefer Sutherland. Anyway, he splits to go get gas and his girlfriend gets abducted. That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Hey, there's a weird guy outside the car. It just, the cell phones change so many things.
Yeah.
This just doesn't make that much sense.
So he walks randomly into the desert.
Why does he do that? He doesn't follow. I guess he knows what's on the road.
I would have gone right back on the road.
Yeah.
Because you know you're on a road, and if somebody happened to see you going on a road, they might go out and look for you.
Maybe he's just thinking he knows there's nothing on that road, but I thought that was absurd. He just takes off into the desert.
Walking across the Grand Canyon, basically.
This is how people die.
He starts off by singing 1,000 bottles of beer on the wall. You cut to him a few minutes later singing 4 bottles of beer.
Yeah, that's a great little device for showing how time passes. I love that.
Nobody actually sings that song.
I wouldn't sing anything. If I have to walk really far, I'm just quiet.
Nah.
What?
You're I'd talk crazy. To myself, I'd sing, why not?
I would be quiet.
Especially if you're in the Grand Canyon and you can get these great echoes.
Well, that's true.
It's like in Mr. Deeds, the echoey room.
The bottles of beer on the wall song is like torture to sing, though.
Yeah, yeah. So you get a couple of Native Americans on horses watching him.
Do you have them noted as Native Americans? Because I gotta say, I put them down as Indian guys.
I put Natives.
Now that you say Natives, I feel like an idiot for putting Indian guys.
Yeah, yeah. Their line is great. Because he's just, like, rambling, walking through the desert with his something on his head, his shirt on or sweater on his head.
Something. And he's throwing his watch off because it's too hot.
Yeah. And they're watching him, and they say, what an a-hole.
He finds a dead guy in the desert.
Does he?
Clark falls, and there's a skeleton of a man there.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that.
It's like the skeleton of the last idiot who broke down out there. Then we're at the gas station. Clark's there.
The whole family's there.
Yeah.
Ellen's on the phone describing him. He walks by and she freaks out and goes and hugs him. There's a scene they cut here, and I kind of wish it wasn't cut. Because they tell him about the two Indians and a guy on a camel that rescued them. I would have loved to have seen that. That sounds like a weird scene.
For me, I kind of like that it's just spoken about. It's so absurd. I think it works that it's just spoken of.
It works, yeah. But it would have been nice to see. So we've got the two mechanics.
John Deal from Stripes, Cruiser. He's one of the mechanics. Do you think he was in character for this whole movie, too?
I don't know. That'd be hilarious. He only had the one scene.
Probably like a day's work, but
yeah.
He just showed up in his own grease.
And I love that they're both like blackface with grease.
Yeah.
He asks how much it's going to be, and they say how much he got. The right answer to that question is, I got about $100. You estimate what you think it's going to cost, and that's how much you have on you.
But, you know, it's not that bad. It was $500 for a tow.
Yeah, that's
four
not
new
bad.
Tires. Probably retreads or
whatever. He handled it wrong. No, he got bald tires.
Bald tires. But used tires. Four used tires.
Bald tires that were barely put on.
Yeah.
Because they drive off, they're wobbling.
I think he bent the axles.
Maybe, but it's fine later.
The wobble is hilarious, too.
It is.
And we have him talking to Audrey. How much babysitting money do you have?
They ask Rusty to look in Edna's purse. She's got 7 cents, Dad.
Does he say how much she has?
Yeah, she's got change. That's it.
That's right, because she's giving her social security checks to Eddie.
Yeah.
When they leave, I forgot to mention it. He's like, you're still going to send those checks?
Yep.
So messed up. And we have the hotel. His card has been reported stolen. All of his credit cards have been reported
because
stolen.
He reported Ellen's cards. His got turned off as well. So the hotel clerk's being rude about it, and Clark's trying to get him to cash a check for $300. He's like, not without a credit card.
I should have noted this guy's name, but the hotel clerk is fantastic in this.
He does a good job.
He's really good at just this, like, insufferable jerk guy.
He's kind of doing a Thurston Howell jerk.
Yeah, which is bizarre because they're in Arizona for it just have this stuck-up dude.
Well, it's a high-end hotel. Clark's getting upset. He's like, I'm going to give you a $1,000 check. All you have to do is give me $300. And he says, sorry, sir, not without a major credit card. And walks away. So Clark hits the desk in anger, and the cash drawer opens.
Fonzie style.
The guy's seriously right there turning his back, walking away, and doesn't notice the cash drawer opened.
I love that cash register is Fonzie operated.
It's pretty good. And so he looks around, empties the cash drawer, runs off.
He leaves the check.
Okay. Well, that's dumb.
He does leave the check.
Wow.
He's a nice guy. He's not a thief.
Yeah, that could still get him, though.
Yeah, I guess. But I like that he left the check behind. It made me think, like, yeah, he's a good guy.
There's a chance he might get away with it then. So the family's like, well, don't you want to look at the Grand Canyon? And he, like, puts his arm around Ellen for a second. Okay, let's go.
It's great.
They run to the car and take off.
Edna had stayed in the car. She didn't get out at all.
No, I think she was already dead when Rusty checked her purse.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, Edna's dead. They realize Edna's dead.
They stop on the side of the road, almost drive off a cliff.
Luggage flies off again.
Audrey jumps out yelling, she breathed on me! A dead person breathed on me!
It's a great line. So they're talking about what to do with her, whether they leave her on the side of the road.
And then Clark has an idea, and Ellen says, no, you can't put her on the roof. And Audrey says, yes, he can.
Yeah, and then Clark's like, well, yeah, it's not like it's going to rain on her.
And instantly it's raining.
Got to just a downpour. The way they have her strapped up there is hilarious.
Sitting upright.
It's just so obvious.
You could see hair in the back that's open.
The only way it could be more obvious is if they didn't wrap her and she was just like granny in Beverly Hillbilly style sitting up there.
But they tied her purse where she would usually be holding it, like to her chest. outside of the tarp.
T-Rex arms holding a purse up there. I always thought that this was going to lead to, like, everything else you strap to that roof, it flying off in some sort of hilarious way.
On the way there, they mentioned something about she must have died back in Flagstaff. They get to Normie's house, and there's a note on the door that he went to Flagstaff. I think that's hilarious. They passed each other, and it would have been great. But they leave her in the backyard. It looked like she was still tied up to me. I don't know.
Yeah, they just left her on a chair. They gave her an umbrella.
And put a note on her.
That's so badass.
Yeah, that's, like, messed up.
I want to put this in my will. Just, if I die first, you make sure you put me on a stranger's porch with an interesting note on me, just in a chair.
I'd be arrested.
or at the very least, Weekend at Bernie's, one last blowout.
Only the lonely style.
Yes! That's going in my will.
Cute and I will take you to a bar.
Yes!
We'll have to steal you from the funeral home.
The prayer outside of Normie's house for Aunt Edna is fantastic. I don't have anything written down, but again, Chevy Chase, I'm sure, improvised it, and it's so great. You know, he mentions, like, and the Hindus believe in karma.
Oh, my goodness. This is the one thing I kind of don't like about what he does. When he gets into this, he just goes over the top with some of these. It was good, and then he went over the top, and then it got good again.
I sort of agree.
I like Ellen's a little better.
Ellen's great. Lord, we loved her. Let's not overdo it, Mom.
And then at the end, I hope we all learned a lesson here. Yeah, don't die when no one's home.
And then everybody's upset in the car. Everybody's finally bummed out, and we have the great Clark going over the top.
Yeah.
This is a quest.
Yeah,
it's a quest for fun. Yeah, and him losing it. He does this again in Christmas Vacation. That's the hallelujah.
Yeah, that was good.
It's interesting, though, because in Christmas Vacation, it's hallelujah, holy shit, where's the Tylenol? In this one, he says something, and at the end of his rant, Rusty asks if he needs an aspirin. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting. I just picked that up. Ellen and Clark are fighting.
In the hotel room. And Clark leaves.
He splits wearing his badass shoes.
So he walks into the hotel bar and they pan up from his shiny white shoes up to him.
The hotel bar is the Regal Beagle from Three's Company. It is decorated the same.
Really?
It's just probably 80s bar, but it just, I was like, this is the Regal Beagle.
It was weird. It was kind of creepy. And he's a creep.
Yeah, he's just getting shut down by girls. He sits down
next to some chick, looking across the piano player, wearing a blue tux with a long cigarette holder. But he sits next to her, says something to her, and like, you see her mouth something like, get away from me, creep. And he gets up and leaves.
My favorite is he talks to that one girl, and then Burt Reynolds look-alike with like a members only jacket and a badass 80s mustache comes up.
Is that the second girl?
I think so. And then he splits from there, sits by himself. Here comes Chrissy Brinkley.
Again, this is totally imaginary in my mind. Like, how could that... He's getting shot down by these other girls, but Chrissy Brinkley wants to sit with him.
Yeah, the hottest woman in the bar. It does seem very imaginary. So she talks to him, and he lies about being married.
His lie... He spews out these awful lies. She's like, I thought you were going to say you were from in the CIA.
It's like, well...
I used to be. So he says he owns a hotel chain. She basically calls him on it, like... I thought you were going to tell me you were in the CIA. He's like, oh, I used to be.
The lie is kind of interesting. It's funny. His lies just are part of his character.
Says, I do this undercover, so I just got to kind of look like a fool. She's like, so be yourself? Well, yeah.
Yeah. I love that he also throws in, lately he's just focused on his motel chain and his airline.
So they walk into the pool area. She decides they want to go. She wants to go skinny dipping.
Yeah, so she strips and jumps in.
And he starts doing, and he's like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
I love it. He strips naked except for socks.
I didn't notice that.
Just his socks.
He jumps in wearing the socks?
Underwear off, white socks on.
I didn't realize he left the socks on to jump in.
It's ridiculous. So he jumps in and he starts screaming about the temperature. Just like, oh, it's cold.
Yeah, he comes out of the water, screams loud, wakes the entire hotel.
It's Arizona in the summertime. That water is not cold.
Not that cold.
But yeah, the entire hotel wakes up and comes out to look at them, including Ellen, who sees him in the pool with the naked lady. His excuse is great, though. I actually find his excuse pretty believable. It's pretty genius, right? He jumped in, didn't realize she was there, and that's why he screamed.
That works, yeah. I like the one when he has the father-son conversation with Rusty.
Yeah, immediately afterwards, Ellen's clearly mad, goes inside. It cuts to the kids on the balcony talking a little bit, and Audrey's like super stoned, holding a joint, like sunglasses on. And they're talking about, you know, are my mom and dad going to get a divorce? Fun vacation.
Yeah. Rose's like, I got to go talk to dad.
Their man-to-man is fantastic because he's like, yeah, she's a swimming waitress. And he's like, yeah, dad, do you think mom will buy it? And then he goes in to talk to Ellen and he's like, you know, are you mad? And she's like, you know, she's not as mad as she should be. She's like, I'm not mad. I'm just, what, hurt or something?
But then she decides to try to be cool and she drags him to the pool and strips down and jumps in. And this time she screams.
And wakes up the whole hotel.
By the time everybody comes out, Clark's stripping and jumping in with her. And they have a good time in the pool.
And the kids, again, are witnessing their parents do something so inappropriate.
Yep.
L.A. L.A. in the 80s looks beautiful.
It's a weird version of L.A. in my mind. Like, it's, I do remember freeways like that, but barely.
They have some L.A. stuff, and then a lot of the driving stuff, I think, is more Valencia, North Hollywood, that sort of area. Because
they probably have some of the 10 coming up from Arizona, too. So, yeah, you get a lot of the shrubs and plants on the side of the freeway, not a lot of open space.
Well, and Wally World is Magic Mountain, which is up near Valencia. Right. So a lot of that area was just beautiful and sort of desolate at the time.
Right.
It wasn't until, you know, a few years ago that started getting developed. You go there now, it's all brand new houses, brand new grocery stores.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting for us to see, this is where we grew up, you know? So you see it as it was.
Two or three lanes on all the roads when now that's 10.
Yeah. LA is a garbage city now.
Hometown.
It's just interesting to see it back then. So the Wally World is interesting. Wally World is interesting now because everybody calls Walmart that now.
True.
So for it to be an amusement park, like I hear Wally World and I think Walmart. But they pull up there and Clark is crying.
He's all happy, yeah. The parking lot's empty and nobody seems to notice at first. And then Clark says, we're the first ones here.
It's clearly mid-afternoon.
Midday sometime. They're the first ones there?
That's, yeah, it's pretty unbelievable, but yeah.
I'm thinking Yeah, okay.
And stuff like that I let pass because Clark has established himself as an oblivious guy.
Right.
So I let it go.
They get all excited and start running to the front gate.
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, you said that was pretty dated. I think it kind of holds up for that, but nobody knows where it comes from.
Right. People like us, if we hear that, we know it. It's like, oh, that's just a common trope now. But back then, I just think it was current. I had to note, Clark's shorts are so short. They're ridiculously short.
So they get up to the front gate, and Marty Moose is standing there with a sign. And I guess there's a button, or it plays a sound on its own, and it's saying that the park's closed for 2 weeks for cleaning.
Which is a thing that Magic Mountain does.
Well, Magic Mountain closes for a season.
It does.
Do they still do that?
I don't know. They used to.
I know they used to be closed for like half the year.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It makes sense for water parks, but Magic Mountain I was just surprised by, and it always bothered me.
Well, they do a lot of events certain times of the year. I think like prom season or something. Like they used to do proms and grad nights and all that.
Yeah, but they're like closed for half the year.
It's bizarre.
So I'm sure people have been through this experience where they go there expecting to go to Magic Mountain, and instead you get to an empty parking lot and it's closed.
But in California, it's like, Magic Mountain's closed. Yeah, we'll go to Knott's.
Yeah. Universal Studios.
Yeah, there's so much
Disneyland.
Stuff.
How much money do we want to spend?
Right.
A little bit, Knott's. A little more, Magic Mountain. A whole lot more, Disneyland.
Yeah. Here's the thing that bothers me. They show up and the place is closed. Clark planned out this vacation so well that he even created a computer program and programmed in his little car. They didn't call ahead.
No.
That bothers me that he had this. It seemed like he had a plan from the beginning.
Right.
But he didn't call any of the motels ahead. It was just sort of like, there's a motel, pull off, this is where we're staying.
That'd be a fun road trip.
I guess. I mean, it'd be fun, but it's not like a family of four road trip.
If my goal was to go somewhere, I would make sure that place was open.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to Knott's or Disneyland, I'm going to see what rides are closed. Because if a ride I really want to go to is closed, maybe I'll reschedule.
Well, back then, I mean, you would just call. You would call ahead. So Wally World's closed, they split.
He punches Marty Moose.
He does. Caves in his nose.
Caves in his nose and messes up the audio.
How Bullwinkle is Marty Moose?
He's totally Bullwinkle. So they go to a gas station. Clark runs across the street to a sporting goods store.
And then they're back at Wally World.
You see them pulling in. They're walking in, and Clark totally has his hand in a white paper bag.
It's bizarre. It's a weird choice.
Yeah. And our buddy comes out with a great kind of nerdy accent.
And it's the ending we've been using for quite a few of these. Sorry, folks. Park's closed. Moose out front should have told you.
Yeah, I love it.
It's great. He's a fantastic character in this.
He got $1 million for this role.
It's remarkable. It's a
good
role.
According to IMDb.
But that seems like too much.
I don't know, but he did a great job.
He really did.
It was totally worth it, I think.
Well, I mean, it got this movie on this show. If it was another person, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, but that right there is totally worth it.
Exactly.
Whatever.
And we have Grover there. That's fantastic. He's not being racist, and clearly that guy has no hard feelings about the 1941 stuff.
Yeah, so Grover's Frank McRae. John Candy's being held up by Clark, and Frank McRae comes out, and he treats him like a dog. It's great. He's like, over there, lay down.
I wonder if that's why the character's name is Grover.
Maybe.
I thought about that when he was doing that.
I love later's like, he treated me like a dog.
Yeah. And we have the rides at gunpoint, which is fantastic.
It's great.
John Candy is so good in this.
The rides magically work.
It's like in every movie, amusement park on switch.
Right, but it doesn't go until you're sitting perfectly fine.
I don't know how that works. I was going to ask you, because you worked at an amusement park.
They don't work that way.
What would
None
happen?
None of these.
Let's say you get onto a roller coaster and have somebody press the start button. Would you just go over and over? What would happen?
Most roller coasters run themselves. So you push the button, they go. But you have to push a button to go.
Right.
Other rides, like the Carney rides that they go on, they have a dead man switch. Somebody has to be holding a button or pressing a foot pedal or something, or they don't go.
Wow. Huh. You just put a brick on it.
That wouldn't do it.
Wow.
Because you need to also push a button, and if you did a brick on it, some of these might go forever.
Well, this movie
Scramblers are Carney rides.
This just ruined it for me. This whole movie's garbage. It's unbelievable.
Shut up. Okay, so they're getting on a roller coaster, and John Candy asks, has your father ever killed anyone before?
Yeah, this is a riding colossus. I forgot what they called it in this, the screaming meanie or something.
I don't know.
But yeah, he's talking to Rusty, and Rusty's like, well, just my Aunt Edna and her dog.
Yeah, just a dog. Am I Aunt Edna? And Clark says, you can't prove that.
And this was great. This was great to see Colossus. I don't think it's there anymore, but this was the iconic Six Flags
They've
coaster.
Done something to it. It's now a hybrid coaster, which is just a steel coaster with wood coaster stuff around it, I guess.
It's remarkable because you see in this that they never decorated that coaster. It was just a white roller coaster, and the inside you can see is just looks like a construction zone. It always just looked like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because you see those hills now they're empty in this movie. They're completely filled with houses now.
Yeah.
It was really interesting for me just being a California native.
That'd be a weird place to live. Just wake up in the morning. Oh, look, Magic Mountain's open.
Screaming kids. Yeah. And the cops are showing up.
John Candy, as the roller coaster starts, says, I had a bad experience on this once. And Rusty says, what happened? Said, I threw up.
So the cops are showing up, and I was just like, I so wish they were the Hut Hut cops from Blues Brothers.
They're the same thing, they're just not saying Hut Hut Hut.
It's the same sort of establishing shots of the cops just showing up.
It's the 80s SWAT movie guys.
Yeah. John Candy has the great, he discovers it's a BB gun.
Well, I think he assumed it, and he's like, that's not a real gun, is it?
Yeah.
And they're having an argument. It could break skin, and he shoots him in the butt.
I'm telling. It's my favorite line.
Yes, John Candy, I'm telling. He gets up. John Candy's playing a kid in this. It's great.
He's so good.
He gets a BB in the butt and gets back on the roller coaster. So, this is Revolution.
Yeah.
And this is the Screaming Mimi.
That's the Screaming Mimi, yeah.
And they get off and they're all having a good time, John Candy included.
Fun fact, right where they got off, one time at Magic Mountain, I watched a man throwing up into a trash can there.
Not so fun.
Not for him.
No.
For like an 11-year-old me, it was hilarious.
Okay, that works.
They're busted.
They yell freeze, and everybody just freezes.
And Roy Wally's pulling up.
I kind of wish this was the Christmas Vacation freeze, because that one, you have Ellen grabbing Clark's crotch, and that one's hilarious.
It is great.
But this one's kind of good. They all just freeze, and then they, hands up, spread your legs against the wall, and they kind of waddle.
The waddle over is fantastic.
They get frisked. And Ellen slaps the cop. She'd totally be, like, beat up for that.
Yeah. Clark decides to talk to Mr. Wally.
So, Clark tries to talk to Wally. He says, somebody better explain, or there'll be a lot of explaining to do.
The guy who plays Mr. Wally, I forget his name, but he is fantastic in this.
He plays a good bumbling idiot guy.
I get the feeling that a lot of this was improv, and it's so natural, and he's so perfect.
Beverly Hills Cop 3? I think tried to recreate this with the guy who ran that amusement park.
I barely remember that movie. I forgot who ran it.
I don't remember. He's a different actor, and he kind of plays that bumbling nice guy. So Clark gives him the sob story about traveling all the way across the country and finding it closed.
When I asked my kids where they wanted to go on vacation, what'd you say, Rusty? Hawaii.
Shut up, Rusty.
Basically, it just smooths it over. I kind of like this ending. It's just very 80s, just... He convinces Mr. Wally. It's all cool.
Yeah. He asks Mr. Wally where he takes his family on vacation. He mentions Florida. He's like, what if he got there and he closed it? Well, they don't close Florida.
It's fantastic. He just smooths it all over. It's such an 80s ending. Let's party together.
Yeah.
And we have them all together, cops, everybody riding a roller coaster.
That was good.
And just freeze frame on them heading over the drop. I couldn't have asked for a more perfect, more 80s ending. Just, it all gets wrapped up in 2 minutes of explanation, like a Three's Company episode.
The most disappointing part of it is they went and got back on Colossus.
I liked Colossus.
Colossus is awful. They could have at least gone back to Revolution.
Colossus should have been called Whiplash, because it totally gave you Whiplash.
Well, Whiplash was, like, deadly.
They're like, what are we going to call this? Well, you know, less lawsuits if we just put it on Front Street and just say...
We were kids when they opened Whiplash, and we hated it.
Yeah. This was fun. I love this movie. It's the best ending ever with the photo credits and Lindsey Buckingham's music. It's so great.
It was good. I really like this movie.
It holds up super well. I would understand it if somebody much younger than me didn't get this.
It's understandable, but there's so much in it that's so universal.
There's also some
forever.
Weird racism that I would love to see cut out of this.
So apparently during the roller coaster scenes, everybody was getting sick. Audrey would throw up and she had to, like, pass out on the benches nearby.
Ugh.
Anthony Michael Hall was really afraid, so all of his, like, fear reaction shots are real.
How many times did they have to ride them?
Working at Knott's, I ran the rides for a commercial, and they had a mounted camera, and they had to do it a bunch of times. I felt bad for those people because they were getting really bored. But on these, somebody's like riding holding a camera. So like they do these with somebody holding a camera on the ride.
Probably turned around backward.
Yeah, because they're watching the reaction shots of everybody. That would have been awful.
That's torturous.
Yeah, and it's an awful ride. Colossus is terrible.
Oh, hats off to Ramis, though. This is...
it's done so well.
And to be a sophomore movie, I mean, there's that like sophomore slump. You know, sometimes you have a great debut. Caddyshack. I'm sure people were high expectations for this. And instead of just doing another great movie, he created a fantastic franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
This is great. I don't, you know, out of all the vacation movies, I don't know, I might still like Christmas the best, but this is solid. Solid John Candy performance, too.
This is a great movie.
Henry Gibson is in this someplace, but he appears uncredited as some sort of hotel clerk or something I saw on IMDb, but I've never been able to spot him. So I guess that's it, right?
Let me see if I can find any bad reviews. Somehow this film is considered a comedy classic and Chevy Chase a comedy legend. But I don't see it. From the idiotic premise of an idiot bringing his idiotic family on an idiotic journey to what I'll assume is an idiotic theme park. The journey involves doing idiotic things and meeting more idiotic family members. None of them funny or even remotely close to being funny. How this spawned a bunch of sequels and what is basically a remake is beyond me. I won't give this film an excuse of it might have been good back then because Airplane and Blazing Saddles are older and funnier. Watch them instead.
I'm interested. This is a bizarre review.
Yeah. I love the movie. I disagree. Yeah, some of the stuff is dumb and it's meant to be, but it totally holds up. And yeah, it was old, but it's not as old as Blazing Saddles and Airplane.
Sounds to me like it's one of those smarty pants, like middle school kids, right? So it's like, this classic is idiotic, right? But Airplane and Blazing Saddles, while funny...
Airplane didn't hold up. Blazing Saddles only kinda.
Oh, that's fighting words right there. You're gonna have a lot of people on your case about it. I just think the other Airplane and Blazing Saddles have more juvenile humor.
Definitely.
I think maybe this is a young kid who's just like, this is idiot stuff because he's not picking up on like the subtle I just got my period jokes or like
yeah,
Chevy Chase's that didn't subtle get physical comedy. It seems to me like that's just a kid who thinks he's smart.
You get a lot of people now who have seen all these things and are like, oh, this is all just dumb. But no, this is where a lot of it started.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it.
What do we got next?
Going Berserk.
Joe, should be fun.
Hopefully.
Watched a little bit of this. I don't remember it at all.
We're coming up on Splash right after that.
No, that's going to be killer. I love Splash.
Right? And then 1985, we've got so many good movies.
I loved Splash, and I haven't seen it in maybe 20 years, so it's going to be interesting to see.
It's been at least 10 for me. I love that movie.
I did. It's hard to say you do.
I have a better memory of the movies than you do, maybe? I don't know. You have complaints about some of these great movies, and...
You're the one that hated heavy metal.
Yeah, because it was dumb.
It's not dumb.
It was awful.
That's idiotic. I didn't get it. All right, guys. Well, you can find us on Twitter at popcorn_with.
You can visit our website, popcornwith.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
Or you can give us a call, 470-729-BUCK. So, yeah, great movie.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
See how Going Berserk goes.
If you feel like donating, visit our website.
Yeah, give us money, because we could use it.
If you don't feel like it, don't.
Yeah, just tell a friend or something.
Make them donate.
Yeah. Steal a credit card.
There you go.
Don't
do that.
No. You steal cash. Yeah, guys, we just, if you feel like helping out, being a supporter of the show, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries if you don't. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
That's getting old.
Bye.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.